For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Rebecca Foster. London police have named the man suspected of carrying out the terror attack near the UK Parliament as 52-year-old Khalid Massoud. British-born Massoud had been known to MI5, but was described as being on the periphery of police investigations. Natalie Powell reports from London.
The so-called Islamic State have claimed responsibility for the terror attack in London, in which a police officer and members of the public have died and many more were injured. The Metropolitan Police have now named the suspect, who was shot dead at the scene, as Khalid Massoud. He was known to the authorities for previous convictions, such as possession of offensive weapons, but was not subject to current investigations and had not been convicted of any terrorism-related offences. The 52-year-old alleged attacker was born in Kent in the southeast of England, but is thought to have been living in the West Midlands, an area where police have been conducting raids.
Meanwhile, Belgian police have arrested a suspect accused of trying to drive a car at high speeds into a crowd on the main shopping street in Antwerp. This attack coming less than 24 hours after the one in London. From Belgium, Katie Parkins reports.
The driver in Antwerp ran a red light before attempting to drive through a crowd. The driver has been arrested and no one has been reported injured. The Belgian federal prosecutor says the man arrested is a French national living in France and the car driven was on French plates. Additional police and military personnel have also been deployed to the center of Antwerp.
CNN reports the FBI is reviewing information that indicates Trump campaign officials were coordinating with Russians on when to release information damaging to the Clinton campaign. FBI Director James Comey told the House Intelligence Committee the Bureau had gathered a credible allegation of wrongdoing or reasonable basis to believe an American may be acting as an agent of a foreign power. Israeli police have arrested a dual American Israeli citizen who is suspected of making threats against Jewish centers around the world. The 19-year-old man is accused of calling in bomb threats against Jewish institutions in the U.S., Australia, and New Zealand. Our U.S. correspondent Nina Maria Potts has more.
Israeli cyber fraud officials arrested the man Thursday morning after a joint investigation with the FBI and other international law enforcement agencies. Police say the Jewish suspect tried to use techniques to disguise the origin of his calls and that his motives for making the bomb threats were unclear. The Israeli military had previously ruled him mentally unfit for service. The threats were found to be a hoax, but they prompted evacuations and searches of Jewish centers on multiple occasions, and the suspect is also suspected of making threats against a plane, forcing it to make an emergency landing.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
And thank you very much, Rebecca Foster. Now, we will pick up the story of the FBI investigation into Donald Trump campaign officials with Gerald Celente in the second hour of the program today. We'll also talk with Gerald about what happened in London yesterday. For most of the first hour, though, we are going to focus on London and the fallout from yesterday's attack. Kevin Barrett will join me this hour. It is the 23rd of March 2017. You are with Europe's most listened to independent radio show. This is The Richie Allen Show.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is The Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com. The Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with davidicke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
Just to reiterate, the trends research legend Gerald Celente joins me in hour two. Wonderful guy, love Gerald. And Kevin Barrett, we're going to talk about the satanic implications of yesterday's date with Kevin and much more. Kevin joins me around about 20... somewhere between 20 and 25 past the hour. You know the Twitter handle, you know the email address, do let me know what you're thinking. This is Thursday's programme, brought to you in association with davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, alternatecurrentradio.com. Check them out, and Tune In Radio as well. Get rid of the music and let's crack on. Before I say anything to you, David Icke, my friend and colleague, is in Iceland ahead of his speaking engagement there this coming Saturday. For details on tickets for Iceland or for any other event, go to theworldwidewakeup.com. I'm wondering what was that. The music is still on. I could hear it in the background. Yes, so go to davidicke.com or theworldwidewakeup.com. That's where you'll find out information on ticketing for the Worldwide Wake Up Tour. Now, David is in Iceland and he was watching the session, the special session at Westminster today, where British Prime Minister Theresa May and many other politicians, including the leader of the opposition, the leader of the SNPs, and the leader of the Judean People's Front, Tim Farron, they all had their say and paid tribute to the victims of yesterday's attack and also paid tribute to the policeman who died. But there was a lot of talk about shared values and democracy and decency and tolerance. This didn't sit well with my friend David Icke, and he made a video for davidicke.com a short time ago. I've asked him for permission to share some of it with you. This is David speaking a short time ago in Reykjavik ahead of Saturday's event and his thoughts on the session in Parliament today and what was said by British politicians.
What I witnessed on the hotel television this morning, watching the debate in the House of Commons in Britain about the attack in Parliament yesterday. It was a debate that followed a statement by the Prime Minister, Theresa May, on the background to what happened. Now, we don't know the full story, and anyone that has listened to governments explaining events and then seeing what really happened will know that it's right that we hold back and we don't accept the official story until it stands up to scrutiny. But that's for the days and weeks to come. The point I want to make is the stunning hypocrisy that I saw in that parliamentary debate. First of all, we should be thinking of the families of those who died and those who've been injured, some of them badly. I mean, you cannot imagine the feelings today of the families of those people, including Keith Palmer, the police officer who died. And that's bad enough. But to see then the hypocrisy in the Houses of Parliament, where you have Theresa May saying that the voice of hate and evil will not destroy our democracy, that we must come together behind our shared values, and that democracy won't be destroyed by attacks like this. I mean, there's a number of things that come from that in terms of hypocrisy. First of all, terrorism has done enormous damage to democracy. It's no good hiding the fact and saying it won't. It has. And one of the things that can be shown in relation to that is the very Snoopers Charter that was orchestrated through Parliament by Theresa May, both as Prime Minister and before that as Home Secretary. This is a surveillance law that allows extraordinary levels of surveillance and powers to the security forces and the intelligence community to destroy privacy and watch everything that people do on the internet, including reading emails. It's no good saying that terrorism won't destroy our democracy when things like that have clearly done that and destroyed our privacy and our freedoms, and increasingly freedom of speech. But then you hear about we must come together behind our shared values. I mean, it's breathtaking. This is the Parliament, this is the government, and these are the members of Parliament that have voted and supported military action in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Libya, in Syria, that have killed, maimed, and destroyed the lives of millions of people. When I hear MPs and prime ministers talking about the fact that we won't bow to terrorism, I wonder what they thought was going through the minds of the men, women, and children under those bombs, still under those bombs, coming from the sky, from planes out of America and Europe. I wonder what the thousands of civilians who have died and been maimed for life by air attacks in Yemen by Saudi Arabia with technology and weaponry supplied by the United States and Theresa May's government. I wonder if they think they won't bow to terrorism. I wonder if they think they should come together behind the values of those that are ensuring those bombs are falling. You know, we really have got to get up out from our own arse in the West and stop going through this extraordinary process of cognitive dissonance where we think that we can condemn terrorism and we can say it won't destroy our democracy and it won't do this and it won't do that and we must stand behind our values, while at the same time the West and the governments of the West being the most grotesque in terms of scale forces of terrorism, death and destruction on planet Earth. It really is about time the people started calling them out on this and not falling for it. The West is the biggest terrorist operation in the world with its massive military and its NATO network. And yes, terrorist attacks of all kinds are terrible and ridiculous and ludicrous and insane. But we should never forget that the biggest terrorists on planet Earth, decade after decade, are the West, the very governments that condemn the terrorism of others.
And he is absolutely right. He's 100% right. That was David Icke speaking a short time ago in Iceland. For more on that and for updates, go to davidicke.com/headlines. It's absolutely true. I said it today. The intelligence services here, along with other intelligence services and agencies like those of Israel and the United States and France, have basically murdered by funding, by giving money, arms, hard cash, hardware to the sons of Wahhabism. They have been responsible for the murder of millions of people. And I talked a bit today on Facebook about the media coverage of events like this, and it's an extraordinary thing, really. And nobody has ever really attempted to take it on in terms of to really intellectually challenge how, not what they do. We've always known, and, you know, geniuses like David Icke and many other men and women have told us for years about the mainstream media and what it does, but how it does what it does and the means with which it does what it does, we've never really taken a look at that. And I tried to do that today on a post I made on Facebook, and I'm not the most brilliant writer, I'm far from it, but I've been, you know, I've only ever really had one job, one serious job, and that is media production and radio presenting. That's really all I've ever done seriously. And I can see exactly how the media is doing what it is. You know, it isn't just as simple as taking the press releases from the government agencies and reading them out or quickly rewriting them into radio speak or TV speak and then putting them out, which is pretty much verbatim. It's much more than that. You know, the media are creating a living drama, as I said today, a living drama that people are hooked into, you know, like any of the old great daytime soaps. Those soaps have now been replaced by the 24-hour cable news channels, which people spend most of their time watching now. I mentioned today, if you go into people's houses now in the afternoon, they've invariably, in the UK, got BBC or Sky on. Those are the 24-hour channels here. Not so much Al Jazeera and France 24 or RT. It's the BBC and Sky. And in America, it's the main players in America, CNN and Fox and the others. And what they're doing is they're creating a fictional world. The media are doing this now, where we're the good guys. It's the old cowboy and Indian film kind of scenario, but it's played out day by day. We're the good guys, we're the decent, we're the tolerant, we're the nice people. And we are under constant attack from really bad boogeymen and monsters who want to kill us for no other reason than they despise the way we live. They hate the fact that we assemble together. They hate our multiculturalism, allegedly. They hate our freedom to be who we want to be. You know, our tolerance of one another. That's the narrative. We're hated for that diversity. And our values, as you heard David say in that clip there, our values, which nobody has any idea what our values are when you look at what's happening in Syria, what happened in Libya, Afghanistan, Pakistan. I mentioned all of these things today. And there's no reporting of anything. Look at how the media frame events like this. They rush to the scene. They get their primetime anchors parked at the scene of these events for 2 to 2.5 days, repeating the same story over and over and over again, hailing people as heroes. I'm not saying they're not, by the way. The doctors, the policemen, the public who, despite being scared for their lives, stopped to help other people. It is a soap opera. That's what it is. The heroism of us as opposed to the cowardice of them. You know, look at the minister who attempted to give resuscitation to the fallen policeman. I'm not critical at all of the minister, but this is how it's played out. And as I mentioned today, interwoven, interspersed with constant clips of various heads of state, not just here, but around the world, reminding us of our virtue, of our virtuous nature, and how we will never be defeated by these cowardly terrorists. And what's missing out of all of that? Well, what's missing is any real questioning of it. There's no questioning of it. No questions for the PM, no questions for the Chief of Police, no questions for anybody. It's why I said today our news networks have become live soap operas. And I've never seen anything like this. I've watched it develop over the last few years, and we've really seen it come into its own in the last 2 years because of these attacks, in inverted commas, in Paris and in Belgium and in Germany. And now here we've seen this soap opera come into its own now. And I made an analogy today, which is probably childish. I'm not a genius. I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I don't have, you know, the... Sometimes my vocabulary fails me. But I look at ordinary men and women, and I'm an ordinary man and woman. I'm an ordinary man. I'm non-binary. I'm an ordinary man. But I look at people who are not alive to this, and I compared them to Truman Burbank, the Jim Carrey character. You know, they know something is wrong, but they just can't get a grip of it. You know, they just can't identify what it is. They know that their brains are being rewired by these soap opera news programs, which are not news programs. News is gone. News is dead. Reporting is dead. The last wall of protection between us and the tyranny of the state, the media, is gone. The media used to be that wall, that separation, that protection to protect us from the tyranny of states and massive corporations doesn't exist anymore. They are there now to sell you in a dramatic Hollywood screenwriter type way to sell you the agenda and do it in a way that you won't even know that it's happening to you. Because I doubt very many Englishmen and women today, outside of this audience, outside of my colleagues here at the Richie Allen Show and the great folks at David Icke and one or two others, the majority of people in this country today are not asking themselves, why is the Prime Minister not being screwed to the wall by the reporters at Westminster for the nonsense that she spouted today about values? While, as David Icke said, as she was, you know, espousing the values of Britain, our values, our virtue, men, women and children are being blown to bits in Yemen by British weapons, overseen by British officers. We don't have a media. We have 24-hour rolling soap operas. And that is a fact. And it's a tragedy. Now, a lot of you have been tweeting me and emailing me about the FBI and Donald Trump and could this spell doom for Trump? I don't know. I have no idea. We're going to speak with Gerald Celente in the second hour of the programme. And I know Gerald will have a few things to say about that and what happened in London as well. This is your Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, Alternate Current Radio and TuneIn Radio. Going to take a very quick break. When we come back from it, Kevin Barrett from truthjihad.com. Kevin will be with me. You don't want to miss him.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not being seen by the dots or nothing.
They are psychopathic.
They have got the legal right to kill children now, because that's what they're doing.
Traffic 2, available now at premiumonpictures.co.uk.
Looking to arrange a mortgage? Confused by all the deals available? Let Manchester Mortgages do the work for you. Take advantage of our free mortgage review offer throughout February and March and see if we can save you money. We are whole of market brokers with access to hundreds of mortgage schemes across the UK. Call us on 0161 706 0242 or go to manchestermortgages.co.uk. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage. Manchester Mortgages are a trading style of mortgages for you, North West Limited, who are authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.
Do not invest another pound of your money until you've heard this message. Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Death of Money. But today I'm urging you to claim a free copy of my new best-selling book. Visit newcaseforgold.co.uk for full details. Inside, I reveal why gold could soar to $10,000 an ounce and how to make sure you own enough of the right type of gold. To get your copy dispatched today, go to newcaseforgold.co.uk now. This book will change everything you think you know about investing in gold. Visit newcaseforgold.co.uk today.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbayerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com.
Right, don't know what happened there. Welcome back to the programme. 25 minutes past the hour. Without wasting any time, let's welcome back our great friend Kevin Barrett to the programme. Kevin, welcome back.
Thank you, Richie. It's always great to be back with you.
Thanks very much, Kev. You had a brilliant article on Veterans Day last year, amazingly, on the 22nd of March 2016, about the attack in Belgium. And you talked about the satanic implications of that, ISIS, the numbers, the numerology around it. What did you make when you learned that there was an attack in London on the exact same date? What did you think when you heard that, Kev?
Well, it seems like these patterns just keep repeating. You know, it's not that I have to work so hard to connect the dots, because they almost pretty much connect themselves sometimes. And so, yeah, here once again on March 22nd, which is the culmination of the three-day satanic feast of Pelusia, we have another of these attacks. And this attack actually was sort of a repeat of what was done over in Canada a couple of years ago. That was also on the 22nd. It was October 22nd, I think it was 2014. This Bebo guy supposedly shot up the, you know, it intruded on and shot up the Canadian Parliament in Ottawa. And in so many ways, we're getting the same old story here. You know, truck attack and stabbing attack, just like in Israel. And, you know, then we get the follow up today over in Antwerp. So, you know, again, it's you don't have to be Sherlock Holmes to see these things. The clues just jump out in your face.
No doubt about it. Kevin, you're an educated man. You're an academic man. You're very clever. We know that. Did you, I mean, when did you start to look at that sort of symbolism, the, you know, pagan feasts and satanic feasts? And for some of our listeners who won't have explored this before, how significant is this, and what do we know about the elites, let's call them, and their interest in this type of thing?
Well, it's a hard topic to really get a good grip on, Richie, because, of course, it's secret. Like all of the sort of top secret stuff one tries to look into in the intelligence world and organized crime and so on, the people who do that stuff don't really want you to know about it, or if they do, they don't want you to be able to prove it in court. So, but with the satanic stuff, it's clear that there are satanic cults out there. Nobody really denies that. And I personally was actually, I think I've had two run-ins with them, you know, it's two almost attempted recruitments in my life, both when I was much younger. So we know that exists. And Freemasonry is a major power in the world, and there is a kind of a satanic element to Freemasonry. Some would go further and say that that's pretty much what Freemasonry is. You know, Washington, D.C. is a maze of Freemasonic symbols, as Dan Brown explores in his novel, The Lost Symbol. But I personally didn't really put much stock in any of this until I met Captain Eric May, a former Army intelligence officer who joined the 9/11 Truth Movement a little bit after I got involved in maybe 2004 or so. I actually helped him, or I encouraged him anyway, to come out publicly and say that 9/11 was an inside job. And he was very interested in the numerology aspect. For instance, he pointed out that there were exactly 911 days between 9/11 and the Madrid bombing. And he claimed that 11s are all over the place in these kinds of events. He said this was a code that the perpetrators used to sort of tag their events the way criminal gangster guys will, you know, spray their graffiti on the scene of a crime or whatever. And then he said that's the way they communicate with each other and also sort of boast of their crimes. He said he didn't believe in it, but they do. And I listened to that and I looked into it. And the more I looked into it, the more it seemed like he was onto something. So now I'm very much willing to talk about it and write about it.
I must mention too, and I don't do this very often, but David Icke has been writing about Saturnism and Satanism and how it connects to those who control things for many, many, many years. He's on tour at the moment, touring the world with a 11-hour presentation. And in that, he goes into this in great detail. It's horrifying stuff, a lot of it. It's an area of research that I only ever really came across through getting to know David and working with him. But it's vital. It's wonderful stuff, Kevin, that somebody like you, and I know you won't take that the wrong way, but somebody from, I mean, I've always described you over the years, you come from society, you used to be establishment. I mean, you know this. And for learned men like you to be going down these roads and not to be worried about talking about these things is a wonderful thing, I think, you know. I really mean that, because these are areas that are easily scoffed at by people, I suppose, in public life, and people who don't want to listen to the Kevin Barretts and the Jim Mars and the David Icke's of this world. But it plays a big part in how these things happen. I'm thrilled to read your articles last year, which I wasn't aware of last year, Kevin, but today as well. Let's talk about what happened then, the way it happened. How many times have you and I done interviews like this? We don't interview, we talk, and we talk about the glaring similarities. The man was known to the security services. He was known to be bad news. He was known to be trouble. He was radicalised. And it's a nice, neat package, because we've learned that ISIS have taken responsibility, and ISIS are able to manipulate people from thousands of miles away, inspiring people. Ordinary men who've lived in Birmingham for years and years and years, through watching beheading videos online, apparently become inspired to go and kill a whole pile of innocent people. Now, Kevin, you wouldn't have heard my monologue. You've got better things to do. But I've been talking about the way we don't get any questioning of the narrative whatsoever in the media. It's nice. It's neat. They tie a ribbon on it. Here you go. And from your perspective, you must groan and think, well, I could now, Kevin Barrett, I could now write their scripts for them if they wanted me to do that.
Yeah, pretty much. But I've drifted into the opposite role, of course. So now I'm the go-to guy when one of these things happen. I almost feel obliged to crank out an article, you know, deconstructing it and pointing out the contradictions and the suspicious aspects of the event. You know, I've been cranking these articles out very soon after these terror events happen now for a couple of years. I guess I started with the Charlie Hebdo attack in January 2015, and then that went viral. And so now, you know, every time one of these things happen, I'm basically, it's my job to look at what really happened and crank out the article and, you know, talk back to the mainstream media and give people something a little more interesting and accurate to think about.
Isn't it interesting, Kevin, that in the wake of 9/11, they were happy to talk to people like you at that particular time? For whatever reason, maybe they thought, you know, maybe at the time, I think the producers of these major news programs, they didn't really understand what was going on. I really do believe that. And when they heard that college professors, university professors were talking about it, they were keen to get them on. Isn't it it's not staggering to us, but isn't it worth noting? It's definitely worth noting that now in 2017, they wouldn't touch anybody asking questions about this. They wouldn't touch them with a barge pole. There's no way now that they're going to university professors, leading lights in independent media with big audiences. That they consider people, I suppose, now like you, dangerous, Kev. Don't touch him. He's dangerous, you know?
Well, you know, I think we were always dangerous, Richie, including after 9/11. In fact, the most dangerous time for them was in the, you know, few months or maybe the first year after 9/11. It's always more dangerous shortly after the event happens, because that's when people are still malleable. They haven't really internalized any particular interpretation or framework or narrative. So that's when the perpetrators try to, you know, get them while they're traumatized and basically use coercion or brainwashing to sort of insert the official interpretation deep into their brains so they'll never question it again. And that's why I try to react very, very quickly to these events and get something out right away. I didn't understand that, of course, when 9/11 happened. It took me a couple of years to even figure out that it was obviously an inside job. But it was always dangerous. The reason, though, that they gave us our 15 minutes of fame back in 2006, and remember, that's 5 years almost after 9/11.
Yeah.
It was the summer of 2006 when the big mainstream media finally decided to push back against the 9/11 truth movement after having tried to ignore it for almost 5 years and finding that the 9/11 truth movement was taking over the internet. They decided that rather than ignore it, they were going to have to push back real hard. So that's when they suddenly, you know, did a big media hoopla over the conference in Chicago that I helped organize. And then a couple of weeks later, they ambushed me on a big mainstream radio show and try to witch hunt me out of my job at the University of Wisconsin and drag me onto Fox News to fight with Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly. And so the Truth Movement had that sort of summer of 2006 in the limelight, but basically just to be beat up because the other side didn't know what else to do. And that didn't work for them. The poll showed that we were actually bringing more people on board by going on Fox News. So then they clammed up again, and we've all been pretty much blacked out of the mainstream ever since.
That's right. I mean, I've made several attempts because I obviously worked in commercial radio for a long time. And because of that, you know, I've made several attempts. I've tried to sneak onto some of these programs in recent times. I came very close to getting onto BBC Radio 5 Live's breakfast program recently. And then, having agreed to put me through, I lied, of course. I didn't give my name. Now, the reason I didn't give my name, I'm not trying to claim that I'm famous here, but the presenter of that breakfast program knows me and knows me through Twitter. So I didn't give my name. And eventually, they twigged something and I didn't get on. You know, I remember at the time with you, of course, they didn't like the fact that far from brainwashing your students, you were doing the opposite. You were saying to your students, well, look, have a look at everything. Don't take people's word for it. Don't believe everything you hear. Go and have a look yourself. One of the things about this, what happened yesterday, which we're noticing more and more, and this is a recent phenomenon, is that the more successful alternative media outlets with the bigger audiences, and there's no jealousy here at all. This is a fact. We have ambitions here to reach, you know, massive amounts of people in the next 2 years, 3 years. We're not jealous, but we're not. Some of these institutions, Kevin, they've done a 180-degree turn. Last time you were on, we spoke about this. This is a real tragedy to have the Paul Joseph Watsons of this world screaming about the religion of peace and inviting fascists onto their programs to talk about how Islam is a religion of murder. How serious is this for you? You converted in 1993. You're a scholar. I know you speak multiple languages. You take your religion very seriously. How serious is it for you, one, as a Muslim, but two, if you can step out of your Muslim life for a second and look at it from the point of view of truth, how serious is this?
Well, it's really unfortunate that the biggest, you know, former alternative media platform in the world, InfoWars, has basically sold out and made a pact with the devil. They used to be very, very good. I remember my wife recently just reminded me of a time not that long ago when I had interviewed former BBC Mideast correspondent, Alan, Alan, my friend, I've become friends with him since then. He had just spoken with somebody at a major engineering firm who had confirmed that the towers and Building 7 were obvious controlled demolitions. And then, so he came out as a 9/11 truther. He was the author of the Zionism trilogy, Alan Hart, right? And so I wrote a piece about Alan Hart, and I broke that news that Alan Hart endorsed the 9/11 truth movement. And InfoWars picked it up, and of course, they got a lot bigger audience for it than I did. And they were very complimentary to me. They said, oh yeah, Kevin Barrett, he's a great guy. And they were very accurate in reporting what Alan said, including his suspicions that the Israelis were largely behind 9/11. So InfoWars was actually still honest then. And that was, what, 5 years ago or so?
Yeah.
And then somewhere along the line, something happened there. And I don't know what it was. You know, did they make him an offer they couldn't refuse? Did somebody get some, you know, some really bad pictures of Alex? Or I don't know. I can't imagine what caused them to make that turn. But
money,
now,
Kev. I think
they're just like Fox.
I think it's just money. I think I've taken a very long, hard look back at what he was doing over the last few years to try and get some inclination as to what's happened. I think at some stage he saw there was a vacuum. He saw that there was a place vacated by Fox News, you know, in terms of you've got people fed up to their eyeballs with CNN, CNBC, ABC News, and then you have the lunatics on Fox. And I think Jones, ranter and occasional screaming madman, you know, he might come across as, he's not stupid. And I think he saw himself there. When people like Rush Limbaugh and people like that left Fox, I think he saw a gap there. I really do believe that. And And he went with the money. And there's a lot of money in that, you know, that so-called alt-right world, which is just bullshit. I mean, it's utter nonsense, because what they do is so tired and boring, and it's been done to death by Ann Coulter, Jesus, Mary Whitehouse in the UK many, many years ago. We've had them, I shouldn't say Mary Whitehouse, but we've had them here in the UK. We've had, that'll get a headline, comparing Alex Jones with Mary Whitehouse. But we've had jocks like that, these right-wing jocks who'll say anything, you know, anything that's anti-minority, anti-liberal, I suppose, anti-left-wing. I think he saw that, Kevin, and I think he moved in on it. And it's been hugely successful for him, you know?
Undoubtedly. And as Trump was reported to have said a few years ago, he said if he ever ran for president, he would do it as a Republican because Republicans are stupid.
Right.
Easy to con them into voting for him. And I think that Alex and others of that ilk see the same thing. They realize that if they're doing reasonably intelligent alternative commentary, there's a certain really, you know, let's say a slouching, a knuckle-dragging element that they're never going to reach. But if they, you know, if they dumb it down a few notches and ramp up the hate, they can bring in the knuckle-draggers and get a bigger audience and make more money. And so that's a big part of it. You're right.
And of course, the British Empire, moving on, you know, we talked about this before, and the part it played in creating Wahhabism. My pronunciations are terrible, Kevin. But of course, I know what Wahhabi jihad, I know what it is. I know that interpretation of Islam, you know, by a very, very tiny minority of people. We look at Saudi Arabia, and these people do unspeakable things. And what we're seeing is we're seeing the likes of Jones and others reinforcing this faux narrative that Islam and Islamists are trying to take over the world. And that's the tragedy there, right there. And of course, you have Trump, who came to power on a platform of retreating from interventionism. What a crock that was. And then surrounded himself with neocon maniacs and Russophobes, as Paul Craig Roberts has said. And it's just business as usual, as Paul Craig Roberts has said, in the White House now, except the alternative media, the so-called alternative media, rather than challenging that, is propping it up. I can't believe that we've not moved. I can't believe we're still having these debates, you know, whether or not Islamists are trying to take over the world and whether we should be looking under our cars when, you know, as David Icke said today from Iceland, Theresa May is talking about shared values in the UK. Well, at the moment, our values are give Saudi Arabia billions of pounds worth of weapons to bomb Yemen into the Stone Age, give radical Wahhabi jihadists all the money and all the weapons they want to bomb Syria into the bloody Stone Age. What do you do about it, Kevin? Where do we go from here?
Well, we have to keep telling the truth about these things. And as you said, this Wahhabi movement was largely created and funded and empowered by the British Empire. They're the so-called, you know, radical Islamic movement, although they're so crazy that it's questionable whether some of them qualify as Muslims at all. And at the same time, the same forces, the, you know, House of Rothschild and the bankers that run the British Empire, created the extremely anti-Islamic Kemalist movement, you know, behind Mustafa Kemal or Ataturk over in Turkey, to try to eradicate Islam from Turkey. The connection between these two things is that they were both done by the British imperialists and the House of Rothschild behind them to try to bust up the Ottoman Empire, which was this biggest and most cohesive Islamic political body. And they succeeded by this pincer attack. They whipped up these crazed Takfiris in Saudi Arabia who are mainly interested in attacking their fellow Muslims. More than 95% of their attacks, just like ISIS's attacks, are aimed at Muslims.
That's right.
So they're a radical anti-Islamic group. They're not a radical Islamic group. Just like the followers of Ataturk in Turkey, both of these groups should be seen as radical anti-Islamic groups that are designed to help destroy Islam. They were created by the Rothschilds and the British Empire, and they've been sustained by those same forces ever since.
And I can see it here in Manchester, Kevin, which has a huge Asian community. It has there are a lot of Muslims in Manchester from Pakistan and other countries where Islam would be the predominant religion. Of course, we have a Jewish community, a Sikh community, and by and large, you know, people just get on, you know. They get on with their lives and they get on. But I can see what's happening. I can see And, you know, I have my ear to the ground in this city, and I know a lot of people in this city, and I know that the Asian community, many of whom are practicing Muslims, are retreating. They're retreating because they feel a hostility towards them. There is a, you know, a very, I don't want to say a far right kind of growth, but we are seeing more of that, who are, and I don't blame them, Kev, and this is terrible. It's terrible for me to say this. I don't blame them for being stupid. You can't help but understand that they're being manipulated. And so they're looking at all this news coverage. They're listening to, they're reading the Daily Mail. They're listening to Alex Jones and Paul Joseph Watson, Katie Hopkins in the Daily Mail and others. And they're believing it. So that division, that suspicion and that hostility, which the elite wants, is unfolding again before our eyes. And I often talk about this, Kevin, to people who say, you're an idiot, Richie. You're a bullshit apologist for Islamist violence. So I'm not an apologist for any violence at all. But ultimately, if we were to come together against the puppet masters who are manipulating all of this, and, you know, and I don't want to say it because I get shot for saying it, you know, then we'd see a genuine multiculturalism, for want of a better word, a real unity of people, putting aside, you know, where you come from, what you look like, and understanding that there is a tyrannical hand that has a global depopulation agenda that wants to control us. And rather than believe the narratives that they present to us, which divides us, we'll take them on. That's ultimately, you know, the answer to it, Kevin. But at the moment, we have hatred, we have division, and we have fear.
Well, right. I remember writing an article called Twilight of the Psychopaths many years ago, in which I began by saying that the only real conspiracy is the conspiracy of the psychopaths in power against the rest of us. And I still think that's true. And they're using this divide and conquer strategy, or this strategy of tension, as it was put in the era of Operation Gladio, to divert our attention from what's really going on, and to get angry at powerless people who have nothing to do with our problems.
Years ago, when I first started down this road, I met an imam in Spain, and he was well clued in. He was really clued into what was going on. And he said, Richie, and this is way back now, he talked about migration, even migration into the UK in the, you know, early 50s and onwards. And he said that migration was deliberate, was a deliberate program to divide and conquer people, because they were never going to integrate people. They were never going to, you know, work it so that people got along with one another. They deliberately didn't want that to happen. And I remember he saying to me on the radio in Spain years ago, wouldn't it be an amazing thing if we all realized that and turned on them? And that's the answer, isn't it, Kevin?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think one of the reasons that Islam has been singled out is that there is this kind of anti-usury element in Islam that's held on.
The Christians
are also against usury, but they've kind of forgotten that over the years. Muslims haven't. And so as the banksters consolidate their control over the planet with usury as their biggest weapon, Muslims look a little scary because they haven't really been fully brought into this modern paradigm where we're supposed to accept bankster domination and usury.
And of course, isn't it right? Because you often see memes shared around social media. And you have to be careful with memes because there's a lot of nonsense in memes. But the Rothschild Central Banks, there are a number of countries in the Middle East where they've never been able to establish domination. And isn't it a wonderful coincidence that in the last 10 years or so, those countries have been targeted for annihilation?
Well, that's right. That's probably the main reason that Iraq was destroyed, was it was kind of outside of the Western system, and it was playing around with its oil money in ways that the masters of the universe didn't appreciate. And then Gaddafi in Libya was actually trying to set up an alternative currency that threatened the euro. And that's not just speculation. We have that from WikiLeaked emails between Hillary Clinton and some of her major supporters. She admitted that's why they had to get rid of Gaddafi, was he was threatening the euro. So, Iran today is high up on the enemy's list. And certainly Trump has been beating his chest about Iran. And that's the main problem with Iran, is they don't have a Rothschild Central Bank. And North Korea doesn't have a Rothschild Central Bank. And so it does seem that it's the holdouts against the central banking system that get demonized.
You're 100% right, Kevin. And this is something that doesn't get discussed enough. The reason why Iran was sanctioned in the manner that it was sanctioned by the United Nations countries, the United States and Britain and others, the NATO countries, the reason why Iran was sanctioned is because Iran is an oil-rich country. And Iran could not be seen to prosper in the way that we could prosper if we didn't have to borrow our money from criminal central banks, which just invented out of thin air. If the world could see Iran using its natural resources for the betterment of its country and for its people, there would be uprisings right across the Western world, Kevin. And this is why countries like Iran and Iraq were set against one another and sanctioned back into the Stone Age. And people don't understand it. And you're right to make this comment about Trump, the hero of the so-called alt-right. Mr. Non-Interventionism now is talking about tearing up the Iran nuclear deal and all of that. These are scary times, these. Kevin Barrett is on with us, folks. You've got Kevin for about five more minutes. TruthJihad.com, the excellent author, journalist and academic, my great friend Kevin Barrett. And you know, Kevin, when people, because I get, and I will get it tomorrow on social media, I'll get it for being an apology for terrorism. And I'll say to those people politely, when did you stop talking about Rothschild Zionism and its control of the economies of the world, apart from the ones we mentioned, and its manipulation of global events, its creation of phantom enemies like Red Russia, the Red Menace, and now radical Islam? When did you stop talking about that and going along with the Fox News, Daily Mail bullshit narrative of it's us and them, the lunatic radical Islamists want to kill us? Because ultimately, Kevin, there's only one enemy. It's not Jews, it's not Christians, it's not Muslims, it's the hidden hand that we talk about.
That's absolutely right, Richie. One area I would correct what you said slightly is in the idea of these countries being sanctioned back to the Stone Age. Iran is far from the Stone Age right now.
You're right. 100%.
It's in the middle of a boom. They're doing very well precisely because they've been sanctioned in many ways. They're actually able to manufacture their own stuff. They have the biggest auto manufacturing industry in the Middle East. And sanctions have acted as if they were like a tariff. So they've slowed down the imports of stuff manufactured abroad. The Iranians have had to manufacture their own stuff. And they're doing really well compared to all the other Middle Eastern countries around them. Likewise, Saddam Hussein's Iraq was the most technologically advanced, sophisticated, and successful of the Arab countries, which was partly why it had to be obliterated. And Gaddafi's Libya was also extremely successful. The people had by far the highest standard of living in Africa, an amazing infrastructure, a terrific water project that was set up. And so it's actually the potential success of these models that leads the empire to have to destroy them.
Absolutely. Kevin, listen, you're right. Iran is the absolute exception. Sanctions did hurt Iraq very badly in the 1990s, but you're right, Iran has been the exception. And those who control the likes of puppet Trump and puppet Merkel and May, they cannot allow the people of the world see how a country can prosper when its government doesn't have to borrow money at ridiculous interest rates, when it doesn't have to sell its natural resources, its state assets, in order to survive. Kevin, you're brilliant, mate. I love talking to you. Thanks for taking the time out today, and stay in touch. You know you're always welcome back on our show.
Thank you so much, Richie. You're doing real alternative media. Keep it up.
Cheers, mate. There's not many of us left. Thanks, Kev. Talk to you real soon. The brilliant Kevin Barrett on the line to us there from Wisconsin. The time is exactly 7.5 minutes. It's actually 6.5 minutes to the top of the hour. And that's the crux of it, you see. You see, I'm amazed by how many people have been sucked in by this nonsense from Alex Jones and his staff. This crap about the religion of peace and murderers and terrorism and all of that. You know, I've never denied that terrorism exists and it does happen and people do set out to do things. But the real terrorism, as David Icke pointed out in Iceland today, comes from our governments. The terrorism that comes from Wahhabi jihadists has been created, has been fermented and fostered by our governments. and incidents like yesterday. And that is assuming, and let's assume that it unfolded as it did yesterday. I have no reason to believe it didn't. I know a number of people are saying, well, Richie, well, you know, it could have been one of those hoaxes. No, I think it happened. Khalid Massoud, the 52-year-old man, probably drove a car along Westminster Bridge. But how did that happen? What about the weeks and months leading up to it? Who was he seen with? What happened to him? Did somebody influence him? Did somebody manipulate him? How did he manage to do it? These are the questions you won't get from mainstream media sources. People are dead today. People minding their own business. And we're told that it's this crazy, radical form of Islam that wants to kill us all because we're virtuous. It's nice and neat, isn't it? It's pathetic that people swallow that. Time we started asking a few questions. And it's time we held the same microscope up to the alleged alternative media, that same scrutiny that we give the BBC, Sky and the rest of them, and call out their nonsense. It's exactly 4 minutes at the top of the hour. I'm going to take some music. When we come back, some tweets. Don't forget, Gerald Celente joins the programme in the second hour. You don't want to miss Gerald. We love Gerald Celente. This is your Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, an alternate current radio. And my name is Richie Allen, Europe's most listened to independent radio show. Thanks for making it so. You can tweet at Richie Allen Show, email richie@richieallen.co.uk. I'll read some of your tweets when we come back. This is the Shout Out Louds from Sweden.
It's where I'm coming from, it's where you're going. In a dark tunnel, blindfolded. It's where you leave your home and I follow your steps into the future like I know what's coming. Just don't stop, no, just stop, because
Love that. The album is Optica. It came out a few years ago. They were on the Jay Leno show at NBC when Jay Leno was presenting that program. Fell in love with that song, got the album. The album is amazing. Optica is the album. Just waiting for confirmation from Hesher at alternatecurrentradio.com about the Boiler Room show and the time. I know the time. But their clocks changed, ours change on Sunday. The Boiler Room on alternatecurrentradio.com is a terrific program. It airs live today at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central Time and 9 p.m. Eastern, which means if you're listening in the UK or Ireland, it is 1 a.m. They are only 4 hours behind us now in New York. 4 hours until our clocks go forward this coming Sunday morning. The Boiler Room, 1 a.m. UK time later tonight on alternatecurrentradio.com. Terrific programme. I'm sure they'll be talking about the FBI and Trump. I'm sure they'll talk about what happened in London. There'll be a lot going on. Do check them out. We love that show. Right, it's the top of the hour then. It's been a long time since I've taken news from my news provider at the top of the hour, and it's going to continue because I'm not going to take it now. There you go. Gail has tweeted me, a number of people tweeted me this today, the image of London in 1993 after an IRA bomb. Was that Canary Wharf, was it? I can't remember. 3 years later, there was a bomb in Manchester city centre which didn't kill anybody. Number of people mentioning and saying on Twitter, we didn't ban Irish people or Catholics. We understood it was just a small group of people. But they substitute the word people with a word that rhymes, even with runt. I'm not going to say it on air. Spirit Samba tweets, excellent analysis from Kevin, as does Faisal, who points out not too many people mention the link to Islam, Islamic laws, frowning upon usury, which is interest. And that's a good point, and it's a point that we should make. Yvonne says the Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, is getting grief for comments he made last year. Something he said which is taken out of context. Yes, he's being accused of saying that terror attacks and terrorism is part and parcel for a big city. I'm not sure that's exactly what he meant. I think you're right. Andy tweets, Richie, have you rescheduled your chat with Dana Durnford? Dana will be on the programme next week, Andy, possibly Monday. I think, in fact, it might even be Monday. We had a big switch around yesterday. And I'm also looking forward as well to talking to Julie Kelly. Julie is a journalist, a very, very good journalist, author, cooking teacher. She is an advocate of genetically engineered ingredients. She advocates for them. Now, I don't agree with that, of course, but I like Julie, so we're going to have a chat about that probably on Monday as well. It's looking like it will be Monday as well. We're going to have grown-up debates with people that disagree with us. Do you know why we're going to do that? Because it doesn't happen anymore anywhere. It doesn't. And I'm no crusader, and I ain't important, and I've not got any arrogant opinion about myself and my abilities, but nowhere in the independent media is anybody debating people who disagrees with them. And there are a lot of lovely people, really nice people who disagree with us. And you know what? This might just surprise you. They are not shills. They are not plants. They are not owned by the system. A lot of people hold opinions that are different than ours. Genuinely. It's time we embrace those people. And we spoke to them and tried to understand why they believe what they believe. And then, hopefully, their audience and their followers might take something from our point of view. Not going to be arrogant and say, hopefully they'll go away believing us. They probably won't. But maybe we'll learn from one another. I know how patronising that sounds. It isn't. It's the way it used to be. There was a time when we had a media, you know, when people came together with different opinions, had a chat, maybe parted company, believing exactly what you came in with. but at least the audience gets to listen to ideas bouncing up against one another. How does my idea, how does it stand up to yours? Well, let's have a conversation. Let's see how it goes. So you're going to hear a lot of that. And in fact, on this program, we regularly invite people on who disagree with us. So you're going to hear a lot more of that in the coming weeks and the coming months. Now, in a couple of minutes, the terrific Gerald Celente will join me live from New York City. It is exactly 5 minutes past the hour. This is your Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on Alternate Current Radio, Fab Radio 2 and davidicke.com. Very quick break, back with more after these, and keep your tweets coming in, lots of them today.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not been seen by the dots or nothing.
They are psychopathic.
They have got the legal right to kill children now, because that's what they're doing.
Traffic 2. Available now at premillionpictures.co.uk.
Looking to arrange a mortgage? Confused by all the deals available? Let Manchester Mortgages do the work for you. Take advantage of our free mortgage review offer throughout February and March and see if we can save you money. We are whole of market brokers with access to hundreds of mortgage schemes across the UK. Call us on 0161 706 0242 or go to manchestermortgages.co.uk. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage. Manchester Mortgages are a trading style of mortgages for you, North West Limited, who are authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.
Do not invest another pound of your money until you've heard this message. Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Death of Money. But today I'm urging you to claim a free copy of my new best-selling book. Visit newcaseforgold.co.uk for full details. Inside, I reveal why gold could soar to $10,000 an ounce and how to make sure you own enough of the right type of gold. To get your copy dispatched today, go to newcaseforgold.co.uk now. This book will change everything you think you know about investing in gold. Visit newcaseforgold.co.uk today.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markmajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. Thanks for all the tweets. Remember, I know I say this all the time, but I'll say it again. For anybody who's new to the program, if you want to interact with people, if you want to hear what other, not hear, but if you want to see what other people are saying, if you go to search Twitter, and in search Twitter, you type Richie Allen Show, all one word, no spaces, and then press enter, you'll see what others are tweeting and you can engage with them. I don't do rules, really. But I have, on occasion, blocked people for being unnecessarily rude to people and swearing at them for no good reason. So, generally, we have people speaking to one another on our Twitter feed who have a bit of respect. So, regardless of whether you agree with somebody or disagree with them, afford them the courtesy of some respect. And if they're doing your brains in with their opinions that you don't agree with, mute them. Or just move on and talk to somebody else, right? I've had to take some of my own medicine on occasion. I'm well aware of that. I'm well aware of it. The irony of that, okay? But I'm a big boy. I'm a much better boy these days than I used to be. I've never been one for taking stuff personally and all that, but I don't have a lot of time either. Somebody said to me once, whose name I won't mention, there's a delete button. It's one of the greatest things. It's one of the greatest inventions there's ever been. 9.5 minutes past the hour. Well, our next guest has been on the programme before. He's a remarkable man. He's a terrific journalist, a brilliant broadcaster as well. Trends in the News on YouTube is absolutely brilliant. Check it out. He's hilariously funny. But on a serious note, he's been accurately predicting geopolitical and economic trends for a long time. A long time. And he's made people very successful through his insights. You can subscribe to the Trends Journal at trendsresearch.com. Go to trendsresearch.com. Let's welcome back to the programme. And we thank him for his time, the great Gerald Celente. Gerald, welcome back.
Thank you, Richie. That's very kind of you. Great being on with you.
It's wonderful to have you on. And I want to chat with you about the FBI and Trump and Russia and all of that. And that's really important stuff. And I know you'll have plenty to say on it. But of course, the big news over here, and I know it's been widely reported in the US as well, of course, especially in Boston, New York, where you are, Florida, on the East Coast, because there's so many expats, the attack yesterday, which has left four people, including the attacker, dead, a policeman. What have you made, Gerald, of what you've seen in the last 24 hours?
Four people. How about the 230 civilians that were slaughtered last night by United States airstrikes over Mosul? They don't count. How about the 40 Syrians that were bombed away by the USA last week and another 30 this week? They don't count. But one madman kills four people. We got to increase that war against ISIS, I tells you. Pick, you have the Trends Journal. You see the cover of it.
Yeah.
Crusades 2000. That's all this is. No one wants to see or say, how did this radicalism been created? Ah, it's their religion. Oh, yeah, maybe it is. It couldn't be because the United States and its coalition of the killing slaughtered over 1 million Iraqis on a war based on lies, destroy the entire country. Young people have no future. I just mentioned 230 civilians bombed to death last night by the United States, and that doesn't make any of the media. How about that lovely war in Afghanistan? It's a beaut. We got to get that guy, Osama bin Laden, and he'd been living there. That's a good excuse to go there and launch a war that's destroyed the country, the longest war in American history, and now they're talking about sending more troops there. Taliban didn't do anything to us. Oh, bin Laden. Oh, that other little slimy little lowlife, Jimmy Carter, who all the liberals love. Yeah, you forgot the Mujahideen that he created. Bin Laden, morons. All you little liberal lowlifes that love your murderers like Obama that killed over 4,000 innocent people with drone strikes. Oh, yeah, you forgot the Mujahideen, huh? Yeah, because you're all suffering from attention deficit disorder and you're lost in la-la land. You love BS, man, and you can't get enough of it shoved down your throat. Wonder why they create radicalism, huh? Oh, yeah, you got to get them Russians out of Afghanistan. Oh, you forgot that story, huh? Oh, maybe you like the story of that other arrogant Nobel piece of crap prize winner Obama that destroyed Libya, killed over 40,000 people. Can't figure out why there's a refugee crisis. Oh no, maybe it was that Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner Obama and all you liberals that are so sorry that Hillary Clinton isn't in there, that began the war to overthrow Assad that's killed over 600,000 Syrians, over 6 million refugees, and 5 million people displaced. I can't figure out why people go berserk and become, quote, radicalized. Because after all, if a foreign country invaded America or invaded the UK or invaded France and the people fought back, why, those people would be terrorists. No, no, they'd be militants. And we'd all be morons for believing the crap that they've been shoving down our throat for decades. So that's what I make of what happened in the UK. Innocent people killed because of a madman gone berserk, and they'll use this to rob more of our rights away from us. And never looking at the cause or the effect.
You've been watching the media and how it operates for a lot longer than me. And I've been talking today, as best as I can, about the way the media has become like a 24-hour-a-day soap opera, Gerald, selling a drama to people, selling a narrative, and not asking any questions. And I'm glad you brought up the attack that killed 230 people. Yesterday, because that hasn't been given a single mention on UK media today, not even a byline, not even an "and finally," you know. How do we, rhetorically, I suppose, how do we counter that? How do you get through to people that what they're getting on their 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock news bulletin is
nonsense?
You're not
going to get through to them.
You're not.
You're not going to get through to them. Dogs don't make cats, man. These people are lost. They believe all the crap they want to believe. I know educated people that are fearful of the Russians. They're buying all, the Russians are coming, the Russians are coming. Hey, it got sown, I said to my friend. How much is Trump increasing the military budget? Right away, $54 billion. How big is the United States budget compared to the top seven nations?
Yeah,
the top seven nations spend less than the United States. Do you know what Russia's military budget is this year? America's increasing its military budget by $54, $56 billion. Russia's is $48 billion. $48 billion. When you look at the United States military budget, you put in CIA, Homeland Security, black ops, black budgets, it's over $1 trillion. Over $1 trillion. But again, four people killed in the UK, but 33 civilians sheltering in a Syrian school a couple of days ago, blown away by the United States. Well, we're going to look into it, and we're not going to remember. Yeah, murdering people everywhere. Murdering them everywhere. But that doesn't make the news. So to answer your question, you can't cure stupid because people believe in their politics like they believe in their religions. And you can't break the habit. They don't want to look at the facts. They don't want to call their murderer a murderer. Look at that little lowlife Tony Blair. B.S. Blair, a multimillionaire now, after starting a war in Iraq based on lies. An arrogant little boy of nothing. One after another. So you're not going to change people because they still believe in the crap from Hollywood. And that's all this is. Look, we own the trademark, the presidential reality show.
Yeah,
it's show business for ugly people, man.
And as we're talking, the television show Homeland is airing on Channel 4 over here. There's a number of television programs reinforcing the narrative that is a big, dangerous boogeyman enemy in the Middle East trying to kill us all. I want to ask you about our mutual friend, and he's your great friend, Paul Craig Roberts, who has been doing great work with you for many years. And he's come on our program quite a lot in the last couple of years, and we're always delighted to have him on. And he's given up on Trump, hasn't he? He's... he's become, we had a chat a couple of weeks back, and he was pretty down about what he was seeing about Russophobic appointments to Trump's cabinet, the change in narrative from Trump and those around him compared to pre-election. You just mentioned, Gerald, the massive increase in military spending. We could talk about his plans to go after Iran. How do you see that? Are you, I'm not going to characterise in any way what you were saying, because you're always very cautious and you always watch things and you're very steady with your predictions. But has your approach to Trump in any way changed since we last spoke back in January?
Not at all, in the sense that my disappointment is the same as Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, how he's become so militaristic. And on the campaign trail, he'd say stupid things like, you know, how are you going to get rid of ISIS? We're going to bomb the shit out of them.
Yeah.
What am I, six years old? Who are you talking to? You know, what are you going to bomb? And that's what they're doing. And again, they're bombing the shit out of killing innocent people. This doesn't work. All the United States military has, and I know everybody loves these guys and their military drag, man. They love to salute, wear those medals. Yeah, I know. It's not my trip. It's their trip. There's no draft in this army. This is a volunteer trip, and you're not making my life safer. You guys are making it less safe by invading and occupying other countries. So having said that, you're looking at what Trump is doing, and now the policy is to do more of that. Again, they're putting some 2,000 troops into Syria. Now they're coming up with this whole scam of how they're going to build a safe zone in Syria. Oh, you are? You're bombing Syria. You have no right being there. There's a thing called the Constitution, but people forgot about that because they raped it from us. And that meant that Congress had a vote to go to war. They don't vote to go to war anymore. They give the commanders in chief the power to do it. So Paul Craig Roberts and I are disappointed on the same levels, going back to Iran. And you heard Trump, it's the worst deal ever made. It's the worst deal ever made. What the worst deal ever made? Oh, yeah, we got to watch them Iranians. I mean, after all, they haven't invaded a country in about 250 years. Yeah, but they're in Syria. Yeah, but Assad invited them there. Yeah, but we don't like Assad. It's none of your damn business. He was elected by the people. But you're too stupid, you people that don't like him, to look at the facts. So what if a country, you got Trump over here with 37% negativity rating, what if they said, we got to get rid of that crazy guy? He got his hand on a nuclear trigger. Let's go invade that country. It's the same thing. So Trump's, you know, he's just dragging, pushing this war more. He has given now the Pentagon, according to White House officials, to bypass the White House to make decisions.
That's right.
When you look at the people he's put in his cabinet and his top administration officials, they are people from the military-industrial complex that are running the intelligence agency, Homeland Security. A revolving door? No, man, it's one door. It's the military-industrial complex, now cyber complex, and of course before the cyber time, that Dwight D. Eisenhower, a five-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces in World War II, two-term Republican president, warned the American people that the military-industrial complex was robbing the nation of the futures of the children, genius of the scientists, and sweat of the laborers, and here we are. And you got all these little boys, little boys, slimy, slick Willie Clinton, bullshit George W. Bush, whose book now, his coloring book, is on the bestseller list in the United States of the toilet paper of record, the New York Times bestseller list. And all of the media welcoming this little clown of nothing with a pair of cojones smaller than a mothball. Obama, between playing golf, shooting pool, and playing basketball, another arrogant, arrogant guy. And now you got Trump. Yeah, Trump was a tough guy. He was such a moron, a narcissistic jerk. When I was a kid, we're the same age. The greatest threat your parents could give you when you got out of line, your little SOB had enough of your crap, you're going away to military school. Trump was so narcissistic. This guy, this born on third base, thought he hit a home run. His old man left four kids over $300 million. They sent them to military school right south of where we are over here in Colonial Kingston, Cornwall, New York. Now imagine this, Richie. You're a teenage boy. I mean, if you're not into the transgender trip or the other trip, you're into girls and cars and sports. But instead, they got Trump dressed up in military drag, eating crappy food, sending him away to military school. Now he's talking tough, too. The point that I'm making, if you're going to call him out, Junior, take him out.
Yeah.
Go fight. Go lead the charge. None of you guys could fight your way out of a paper bag. You're all a bunch of loudmouth, arrogant psychopaths.
Let me do a quick recap.
And I'm not a peacenik. I'm a close combat practitioner. If somebody tries to take me out, I'll take them out first. But I don't get in fights. Only when I have to, if my life is in danger. But these little boys who can't fight, they'll send somebody else to do their dirty work, are slaughtering people all over the world. And then when other people go berserk and kill other innocent people, oh, what a crime it is. But our crimes are clean because it's Crusades 2000. End of story. It's the 10th Crusade.
Yeah, they hate our freedoms, they hate our virtues, all this nonsense. We've been hearing it all day. Let me do a quick recap. The excellent Gerald Celente is on the line live from New York, trendsresearch.com. I ain't no brown noser.
Hello,
I recommend the Trends Journal. It's fantastic. Bookmark the website and subscribe to the journal. And Gerald is going to be in Ireland in June. My country. We'll talk about that in a few minutes as well before we say goodbye to Gerald. He's going to be in Ireland, and if you're on the west coast of Ireland, Galway, Limerick, Mayo, well, anywhere in Ireland, it's a small island, go and see Gerald. We'll tell you all about that. Listen, my friend, the military establishment then, the Zionists, as Paul acknowledged when he was on the programme, and the, say it for me, the... Ah, we're back. We lost you momentarily.
Okay, when'd you leave me?
Oh, no, we heard everything you said.
Okay,
yeah, and I was just jumping in to do a quick recap. So I've mentioned the website, and I've urged people to subscribe to the journal. It is fantastic. I'm not a brown noser. It's brilliant. Subscribe to the journal. And then I was talking about you're going to be in Ireland in June. And I want to talk about that in a couple of minutes' time, because if you're in Ireland, you've got to go and see Gerald Celente in June. He's going to be in Ireland. We'll talk about that in a second. I was just going to make the point that, so the military establishment, they'll be happy enough with Trump then. We know the Zionists will be happy enough with him. We know Bibi Netanyahu is happy enough with him. The media are not. So tell us then, because you know, you've got your finger on it. What's going on with the FBI and this nonsense about campaign people working for Trump liaising with the Russians to subtly put out anti-Hillary stories and all of this? I don't buy any of this. What's going on, Gerald?
Well, before I go back, you asked me about Iran earlier. Our forecast is, being that Trump hates Iran and is so tied to Israel, and by the way, when Netanyahu came to the States one time, he stayed at his son-in-law's parents' house, Kushner's. So they're very tied in together. I believe there's going to be an incident between Israel and Iran, and the United States is going to get in there to protect Israel. So that's the way we see it. Going back to the FBI question, this is all a fraud brought to you by the Democrats. And if you go back to the campaign in 2016, when they hacked into the DNC emails, there was never any proof, no proof at all, no evidence that Russia ever did it. But the issue never became what was in the DNC emails and how corrupt the whole DNC and the Clinton Foundation and the rest of them are. So what they do, it's public relations 101. You get away from the issue of the damage, and then you go blame somebody else for something else. And that's all that's been going on. All of the FBI, the CIA, these are just political hacks. The only way you get to the top in that game is to suck your way up. So this is all a political game to keep the people's mind off the real issues, and it's also the Democratic strategy to overthrow Trump. You go back issue after issue. All they do is every time Trump has any kind of a minor victory, they come out again with another, the Russians are coming story. There's no greater example than that guy Flynn. Again, I'm a political atheist. I don't like any of these people. But that guy Flynn, who was the NSA, that former military guy, you know, they said, oh yeah, RT brought him in and he had him speak in Russia. And, yeah, they paid him like what I used to almost get paid when I do talks. It's not big bucks. And compared to Clinton's getting when they sent Bill Clinton to Russia to do a deal for a Russian bank or Russian establishment, he gets $500,000. This guy gets about $45,000. But they make that a tie to Russia. So what they're doing is this is a Democratic ploy to overthrow Trump and lead to his downfall. That's the way we see it. There are no facts here at all. You read the news. They have Russia invading Ukraine. Russia never invaded Ukraine.
No, they didn't.
But that's the language that they use. Russia invaded Crimea. Oh, yeah. They've been there, longer than America's been a country? But that's not the way they propose in the news. So they use all the hateful language, and they also use the propaganda to get the people to hate the Russians, and it's working perfectly.
It is working perfectly, yeah. And you're right. Hillary Clinton, Victoria Nuland, and Arseniy Yatsenyuk oversaw the overthrow of the democratically elected government of Viktor Yanukovych in Ukraine. You're absolutely right, Gerald.
And if anybody wants to see that, all they have to go is to YouTube, put in Victoria Nuland, Washington Press Club. I believe it was December 12th or 13th, 2013, to the best of my recollection of 2014. But just put that in, and you will hear her say how the United States spent $5 billion with NGOs, and that the future of Ukraine was with Europe, and to follow the path set forth by the International Monetary Fund. This is after Putin made a deal with Yanukovych to bail out the government and give them a much better deal. The facts are there. The facts are there when you hear, and that's the other thing. I'm really sick and tired of hearing, if only women were in charge. Slime comes in all races, creeds, and colors and genders, and the same thing with greatness. I'm tired of people playing the race and gender card, because you can hear Victoria Nuland, again, the wife of the people from the Kagans, the neocon group, saying F you to the UK. Oh, a woman would use that language? Oh, and you remember her, and you also mentioned the other guy, the ambassador to the United Ukraine, the United States ambassador, passing out cookies at Mighty and Square.
We've got the great Gerald Celente on the line. We've got him for another 4 or 5 minutes. Do go to trendsresearch.com. Subscribe to the journal. I'm lucky enough to get the journal. And it is absolutely brilliant. It really is important stuff, this. This is the sort of analysis and research that you're not getting when you switch on CNN, C-SPAN, SPAM, we should call it, Sky News, or the BBC. It's great to have him on. So the establishment are happy enough with him, but the Democrats and the media are not. Before we talk about your trip to Ireland, how dodgy is this for Trump then, Gerald? Do you see an impeachment?
It's going to be a rough one for him. There's no question about it. But he can't get impeached. What they're doing is they're playing down the road. By the way, just for people who don't know, you know, when I talk about politics, at a graduate school many years ago, I was the number two guy running the mayoral campaign in Yonkers, New York. It was a city of 300,000 people. And then I ran campaigns and worked on campaigns in Westchester County and parts of New York City, and was the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate. I designed and instructed one of the nation's first courses in American politics and campaign technology at St. John's University. And I was a chief government affairs specialist for the chemical industry in many years in D.C., between D.C. and Chicago. So I know how the game works. So what we're looking at here with Trump and the Democrats, they're waiting for the midterm elections in 2 years. And that's when the impeachment push will go. So they're building up all they can against him. They have to win the Senate and the House for that to happen. And under Obama, the people were so disgusted with, it had nothing to do with the Russians because the Republicans won state houses around the country, blasted the Democrats out of the House of Representatives, and won the Senate. So it had nothing to do with the Russians because I just talked about state losses. So what they're doing, Richie, is they're building for 2 years from now, and their desire is that Trump will be so unpopular that they'll regain a majority. They can't do anything without a majority.
The worst scenario is, in the meantime, there's a protracted conflict with Russia played out in these proxy wars, maybe over places like Iran, so the whole political landscape might change. Again, folks, trendsresearch.com, check out the journal. It's always brilliant getting your input, Gerald. You're off to my old country in June. I got an email from Trends Research Central a week or so ago, and I was delighted to see that. Tell us what's happening in Ireland in June.
Well, we're going to have a week-long conference from June 10th to 16th in Galway, and we're going to look at all the trends shaping the powerful trends unfolding worldwide, how they're going to affect you directly, your quality of life, your bottom line, your creative spirit. And also, we're going to put out information for those who want to become on-trendpreneurs. In other words, what are the trends that are developing, the new opportunities that exist that you could take advantage of to find your freedom independently and to create a future that's going to be solid because it's going to be based on emerging and developing trends. So that's what the conference is going to be about. And it's more going to be, it's not just trends we're going to have. Of course, there's going to be sightseeing and, you know, dinners together. And, you know, it's not just about, you know, I forget it, whether it was Jesus, Muhammad, or Buddha. I get them mixed up. I believe one of them said, you better boogie before the lights go out because tomorrow is iffy. So we're going to have a good time, too, you know. I like to have a good time. And I look at all this ugly crap going on in the world, and I try not to let it get the best of me. So this is going to be an opportunity for some fun as well, besides tapping in and profiting from the important social, economic, technological, and other trends that are developing.
You'll get a fantastic welcome there. And of course, it's a great place for you to go because no country, well, I shouldn't say no country, Greece has suffered terribly. But the tyranny of the European Union has, you know, heavily damaged Ireland on so many different levels. They need a dose of you, I think. When you're there, I was looking at this. My holiday is booked for another time. I can't get over there. This is killing me. This is killing me because you were very kind to me when I started doing programs like this, when I got away from the mainstream in Spain. You were very kind and very patient when I was asking you stupid questions because I didn't know very much. And I've never forgotten that. And I love the journal. I love the fact that you send it to me and I get to read it. So I'm absolutely gutted that I can't make any arrangements to get over there from Manchester. But when you're there, we'll try and arrange you to break off for 15 minutes to talk to us live from Ireland. You're brilliant, mate. You know how much we love you here. Trendsresearch.com. Subscribe to the journal, folks. And Gerald, just before we say goodbye, is that where people should go to find out more about Ireland in June? Should they go to trendsresearch.com?
Yeah, they could go to trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com, and just go down to conference news. It's one of our buttons down there. Or you could go to trendsconferences.com.
Listen,
of course, www.trendsconferences.com.
If you're going to be, if you're in Ireland or you're going to be there, you have no excuse not to go and see Gerald Celente. Thanks for your time today, Gerald. Thanks a million. Look after yourself.
Look after yourself.
Okay, thank you for all you do, Richie. Really appreciate being on with you.
You're a legend. Thanks very much, my friend. The great Gerald Celente. Go to trendsresearch.com. Scroll down. If you're going to be, if you're anywhere around the Irish West Coast in June, you could do a lot worse. Then go and see the great Gerald Celente. Subscribe to the journal at trendsresearch.com. Top man. Right, let's move on. We're going to take some music, I think. In fact, we are. Just a quick musical break. I know hundreds of tweets came in during that. We'll definitely read some of those when we come back from some music. I think we got Billy Idol, have we? Bit of Billy Idol, indeed we do, he says. It's not very good jockeying, that. I had no idea what was in the mix. It's Billy Idol, Dancing With Myself, on The Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
Across our Tokyo ho, down in London town to go-go. Oh, with the record selection and the mirror's reflection, I'm a dancing with myself. Oh, when there's no one else inside, I'm in the crowded lonely night. Well, I wait so long for my love vibration, and I'm dancing with myself. Oh, dancing with myself. Oh, dancing with myself. So let's sink another drink, cause it'll give me time to think. If I had a chance, I'd have to walk up to dance, and I'll be dancing up with myself. Dancing up with myself. Dancing up with myself. Well, there's nothing to lose, so there's nothing to prove. Well, I'm dancing up with myself.
Richie Allen Show on DavidIke.com, Fab Radio 2, Alternate Current Radio, and Tune In Radio. That is Billy Idol, Dancing With Myself. The most listened to radio show in Europe is a radio show on BBC. This is the most successful independent radio show, truly independent radio. It is great to be with you. We don't say that to brag, we say that to thank you for making it so. And amazing men and women like Gerald Celente coming on the programme. Now, Elizabeth Eta was, well, she was tickled pink by Gerald Celente's assertion that George W. Bush W. has cojones smaller than a mothballs. Yeah. Yes, Gerald's turn of phrase is quite wonderful. There's no doubt about it. There's nobody like him. First began speaking with him in 2009 in Spain. Great guy. Absolutely great guy. Keep those tweets coming in. Lots of tweets. Heated debate going on there about religion. Hi to Karen in Dublin. Not in Dublin. Karen is in Glasgow. Colm is in Dublin. And Colm says, Richie, tell Gerald it was definitely Jesus who said, let's boogie. Probably did too. Probably did too. Hi to Anne Selly. How you doing, Anne? Anna sent me a story from We Are Change about the camera network in London having been shut down in June 2016. Somebody is alleging that the camera network at Westminster Council was shut down back in June of 2016 for some reason or another. That's interesting. If it's true, that is interesting indeed. Let's scroll down. I missed a lot of tweets. Tiger Johnson tweets, no pro-Russian rebels in East Ukraine, only anti-EU freedom fighters. Sue says, I missed details of that link, read the Ukraine. If anyone knows, please tweet it. I'll do so after the show, Sue, if I can find it. Fluffles tweets, he is right. They keep Russians into things on Trump's words. They keep Russian informed on Trump's words. Is that right? Is that what you said there, Fluffles? Maybe I got that wrong. I might need to change my glasses. I might. In fact, I think I do need to change my glasses. I think it's over a year since I changed the lens. And I think they said come back in 2 years, but I think my eyesight has deteriorated even further. So I might have to go and get the old glasses looked at there. Hi to Alex Doust. Alex said he had a terrible day. I'm sorry to hear that, Alex. We all have bad days, my friend, from time to time. But Alex said, Gerald's way of presenting the hard facts made my day. Thank you. I'll pass that on to him, my friend. I will pass that on. Hi to Terry Harcott as well, to Stevie G. Stevie asks about Trump conducting a fully independent investigation of 9/11. Stevie, he never will. You know, these are things that, not you, but many supporters of Trump, these are fantasies that Trump is going to start talking about September the 11th. No, he isn't. Way back when, as the... forgetting now. My mind has gone blank. Because somebody informed me of this and I didn't know. I will remind you in a minute who it was. But way back when September 11th, 2001 happened, Trump gave an interview on the streets of New York and said that in his opinion, the buildings had to have come down through controlled demolition. That was his opinion because he'd obviously seen many demolitions up close and personal. And he did say that, and there is YouTube footage available of him saying that. But that doesn't equate to Trump knowing the truth about 9/11. I don't think, anyway. What the hell do I know? But look, I don't believe for a minute that Donald Trump is ever going to take on the official narrative of September the 11th. Hi to Mark Morrison. To Manrique as well, who loves Gerald Celente, loves hearing from Gerald. Tristan as well. Hi, Tristan. Tristan said, I love to hear Gerald go off on people and call it as it is. Thanks for all your tweets. We are going to take a very quick break. When we come back, I have more to tell you. Plenty more. This is your Richie Allen Show, broadcasting in association with DavidIke.com. Please bookmark DavidIke.com/headlines.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not been seen by the doctor or nothing.
They are psychopathic.
They have got the legal right to kill children now, because that's what they do.
Traffic 2. Available now at premilandpictures.co.uk.
Looking to arrange a mortgage? Confused by all the deals available? Let Manchester Mortgages do the work for you. Take advantage of our free mortgage review offer throughout February and March and see if we can save you money. We are whole of market brokers with access to hundreds of mortgage schemes across the UK. Call us on 0161 706 0242 or go to manchestermortgages.co.uk. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage. Manchester Mortgages are a trading style of mortgages for you, North West Limited, who are authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.
Do not invest another pound of your money until you've heard this message. Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Death of Money. But today I'm urging you to claim a free copy of my new best-selling book. Visit newcaseforgold.co.uk for full details. Inside, I reveal why gold could soar to $10,000 an ounce and how to make sure you own enough of the right type of gold. To get your copy dispatched today, go to newcaseforgold.co.uk now. This book will change everything you think you know about investing in gold. Visit newcaseforgold.co.uk today.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
And it is exactly 9.5 minutes to the top of the hour. Now, the UK Home Secretary, Amber Rudd, has been speaking to the BBC since I came on air to chat with you. And she has warned against pointing fingers at the intelligence services after the London attack. This is Amber Rudd speaking with Laura Koonsberg of the BBC a short time ago. Do you want to hear it? This is her.
I think we have to be careful before we point any finger of blame at the intelligence services. They do a fantastic job. The fact that he was known to them doesn't mean that somebody has 24-hour cover. So I think we'll discover more about this particular man and the people around him. But I'm in no doubt the intelligence services are doing a great job.
And yet, though, he was known to MI5, as we understand it. He was known to them because of concerns over violent extremism. So this isn't just somebody who is known to the police because of a criminal past. Now, do you worry that this will appear, as we get more information, to have been a clear intelligence failure?
I think that would be absolutely the wrong judgment to make. I'm confident that as we get more information, and I really can't be drawn any further on it at the moment, that we will learn more and take comfort from the information that we have and the work that the intelligence services do. I mean, it is hard for them because they operate with a large degree of secrecy for good reasons. So I would urge everybody to give them the space to do the inquiries that they need.
The Home Secretary Amber Rudd there speaking to the BBC. That sounds like there's a gigantic amount of arse covering going on. You know. And again, compartmentalisation. The likes of Amber Rudd, she doesn't have a Scooby-Doo about what's going on and who's behind these attacks and whether or not the security, the people behind the security at Westminster, whether they stood aside to allow this sort of thing happen, she wouldn't have a clue. 7 minutes to the top of the hour. Going to be at BVTV Studios tomorrow, put the final touches together of the forthcoming live television programme, which is going to go out live on Thursdays, on Thursday evenings at 9 p.m, we think. I think that's what we've agreed. We'll tell you more about that next week. Going to be at the studios tomorrow, put the finishing touches to that with Hayden Hewitt. The Live League television show begins at 10 p.m. later on. That's 10 p.m. That's London time. Do go to liveleague.com and watch Hayden Hewitt. Agree with him, disagree with him, whatever. It's a terrific entertainment. That's the Hayden Hewitt Live League. It's not called the Hayden Hewitt. It's the Live League show at 10 p.m. And I want to give another plug to Alternate Current Radio's Boiler Room programme, which begins live at 1 a.m. UK time, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern time, okay? So that's Hesher and a cast of terrifically, I have to say, very well-briefed presenters and reporters. It's well worth a listen. If you can't stay up for it, you can catch the podcast on alternatecurrentradio.com, the website there. I'll be back with you on Sunday morning, of course, for Sunday View. That'll be live at 11 a.m. Sunday. Who knows what's going to happen between now and Sunday? Who knows? I certainly have no idea. What I will say, though, is a big thanks to Simon Stewart for the YouTube videos, to my great friend Aaron Calland for looking after our website, and most importantly, to you for listening to the programme. If you can, do support it by donating. Go to paypal.me. That's paypal.me. paypal.me/Richie Allen. Make a contribution if you can. If you can't, of course, don't worry your head about that. Have a fantastic weekend. Gerald Celente hinted there at something I've hinted at many times. You do and you must disconnect from this sort of thing regularly, because if you don't, you'll burn out and you'll be no good to anybody. So do have some downtime, switch off the television, switch off the smartphone and the tablet, and relax and enjoy some time with those who you love, whom you love. So I'm going to leave you with some Metallica then. They're in Manchester this year, later this year. I'm kind of thinking about it, don't you know? Like a bit of Metallica. And look after yourselves and one another until Sunday at 11 a.m. GMT. Bye for now. Bye for now. See you soon. I find in you every day.